If you learn words, for example, let's assume that each one of us knows 500 words. Or if every day, if I advise you every day to go home, and this is very simple advice, go home and learn the first page of the dictionary. And then after 2 years, you learn all of them. What would happen? Would you be able to communicate?
No.
Why?
Construction of words. Huh? Putting together all the words.
Yes, because I said, this is very important. And this brings us gradually to the goal of this session. When you learn a word by itself, you don't know how to communicate. Sometimes you do, but very little. Sometimes it's very dangerous. How many of you know the word sayara? Car? Mashallah. Sheikh Waleed, what's the meaning of sayara? He said caravan. So there is the word in the Quran that says sayara. So I'm sure that all of you know Arabic, so you would say that sayara is a car. And I'm sure at the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, there were no cars. Do you see the trick? Do you see what happened? What happened is that words in isolation are meaningless. Sometimes they have meaning. And that's why Sheikh Waleed understood my intention. Words do not have complete meanings unless they are in a context, in a structure. And this is the first lesson for you. Learn a word in a structure. Learn a word in a structure. Learn a word in a sentence. When you want to learn, learn a word and learn it in a sentence. Okay. When you learn a word like Rasul, all of us know the meaning of Rasul, right? Okay. Can you put it in a sentence? I'm sure that all of you would be able to do this. Rasul, who can put it in a sentence? Muhammad Rasulullah. Why? Because it's most common. He heard it millions of times listening to the Adhan and while praying, doing all this. Okay. What do we learn from here? Okay. We learn that a word is learned in a context, in a sentence. Okay. The second thing is what? Using it repetitively. You need to use it. It's the language. A language is a skill. I would tell you something very strange that may sound to you very strange. Okay. Do you know anyone who used to learn to read your native language and then after some time he was unable to read? No? Are you sure?
Yes.
Do you know anyone who learned the language, how to read a language, how to read it by the eye? And then after some time, he went away to a different country or to a village or to a desert or he was lost somewhere or he lived with Tarzan. Do you know Tarzan? Yeah. Sometime in his lifetime and came back. Yeah. After 10 years. Can he read the language again? Yes? No. If he did not, in this lifetime, in his life, if he didn't write it and read what he wrote, he would never be able to read it. Believe me, I'm talking science now. I'm talking facts. I am talking facts. And not only this, it happened with some people. Yes, when you live here for a long time, when you don't practice your language, your native language, can you write it easily? I'll take an age of your age. Tell me something about your experience. What's your native language? Bengali?
No, Urdu.
Urdu, very good. Okay. Tell me, how much Urdu can you write now?
Zero.
But at a certain time you were able to write. When you came here, but you used to speak Urdu.
Yeah, I can still speak.
You still Urdu, but you cannot write Urdu. We need a better example than this. We need an example who use.
I'm getting.
Tell me about something about. What's your native language?
My native language, it doesn't have any letters, anything. Kokni, but I studied in Urdu school.
Okay.
So I was writing and learning.
Okay.
But after many years now, I'm finding difficulty to write.
This is exactly. What does this tell us?
You need to be in practice.
Yes, it's the rule of use and disuse. Either you use it or you lose it. Use or lose. If you at a certain time know something and a skill, I'm talking about skill, and this goes back to the definition of the language, it has some skills. It has some skills and some knowledge. And that's what I'm going coming with. Okay. And there are different, we have four skills. What are these skills? Skill of what? Listening, the skill of speaking, the skill of reading, and the skill of writing. So we have four skills. And what is important? If you don't practice listening, when you listen after some time, you don't know. If you speak for some time and then you are kept away from speaking for a long time, you have difficulty in speaking. And the same thing applies to reading, and the same thing applies to writing. We have four different skills. Each one of them, when you work on it, you can master it. I'll tell you about the nation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Arabs at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to what? To perfect the two first skills. They were illiterate. They didn't know how to read, how to write. But they knew how to listen and how to speak, and they were very eloquent. They didn't know how to read and how to write. And this in fact confirms the fact I'm talking about. They are four different skills. Each one is a skill by itself. So listening to the language and understanding does not guarantee by any means that you can speak the language. Exactly like the kids. When they are 1 year old, they listen to the language. They listen to the language. But physically speaking, they are unable to speak. Right? And then when they are able to speak, they speak. But speaking the language does not mean that they will read the language. They need another process, another training in order to be readers. Right? And reading the language does not guarantee that they will be able to write the language. What I'm saying is that we have four skills, and each skill needs training by itself. So if you want to be a good speaker, you can speak a lot. The training should be on the speaking. If you want to be a good reader, you read a lot. And I have met many people in my life. They read most of the Arabic books, and they cannot write or they cannot speak. Because they have been reading, but they didn't write and they didn't speak. I know a lot of scholars in Indonesia of the same type, and in Africa I assume that they're the same type. So they are four different skills. Each skill needs a special training. This is one fact. The other fact is, each skill has nothing to do with the other one. When you are perfect in speaking, it does not mean that you are perfect in reading. As the example of the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or most of them. So each skill is totally separate from the other. Writing has nothing to do. Has nothing to do with speaking. When you write something, in fact, there is no relation between what you write and what you pronounce. It's a new thing that you make. You have to make a connection between this letter and the sound B. You have to make this connection. Exactly as the signs of traffic signs. When you see this sign in red, you know that it means what?
Don't stop.
It means stop. For some people it means stop. For other people it means go. I know that. Yeah. So, I mean, you have to learn this connection. You are learning something new because there is no relationship. It's something that we made. It's something extra. And that's why one of the crimes that the teachers do, by the way, I used to do this when I was young, before I learned, is to start teaching people writing the first day. To start teaching our kids at school. The principal of this school will dismiss me. Yeah. To start teaching them writing on the first day. You don't know how much difficult to do the writing. One day I was training some teachers of Quran, and I asked all of them, how do you teach the Quran? They started saying that by opening the Mus'haf and starting teaching the people how to read directly. And then we discussed the issue. I told them that if you are a student sitting instead of the student and trying to learn, do you know how many difficulties you find in this issue? And we counted, me and them, all of us, counted 16 difficult issues that the kids find in when they learn how to read from the first day. 16 difficult issues. But teachers don't see them. One of the problems of teachers is that they do not know how to be students. When you teach, you have to know how to teach and how to learn. You have to think as if you are a student and see what are the difficulties that the students will find here, and you try to prevent these difficulties from happening before you start teaching them. And this is one of the difficulties, that we start teaching them the last skill, the skill of writing alphabet. In fact, we should not do this. Okay, so the fact is that we need to know that there are four skills, and each skill is separate from the others. We can have among us one of the best handwriters of Arabic, and as you know that, some of them even don't know how to read. You find them in many ways. Those people who make calligraphy, they may not necessarily be Arabs. And they make very good calligraphies. And I'm sure Sheikh Waleed probably knows some of them by name. They just draw. See what I'm saying? This has nothing to do with the language. They cannot speak a single word in Arabic, but they are very good calligraphers. They write calligraphy because it's a skill that has nothing to do with reading, with speaking, with listening. So you need to know this, and then we will come up with a question. Life is very short. What is our purpose of learning the language? Do you want to be as fluent as Abi Lahab? Do you want to speak Arabic very fluently? What is the purpose of you? What's your purpose of learning the language? That's what I'm saying. I think for all of you, and I'm one of you, is reading and understanding the Quran. Anything that delays you from this message, put it aside. Make it a second priority. Make it a second priority. You can say, I want to be a good speaker and a good reader and a good writer. Yes, yes, you can do this. But all these are different issues. And as I said, one of our problems as teachers is that sometimes we obey the audience. The audience want to do this. And that's what happened in many schools. This is one of the dilemmas of the Muslims in many schools. You go to a school and you find the teacher is trying to teach people, the students, the kids, how to read the Quran. And they don't understand anything. And you ask them, why are you doing this? Because their parents want to teach them how to read the Quran. Okay, now they read, but they don't understand. What is the use? What is the use if you read the language and you don't understand it? What is the use? As we defined it, now we define the language, is the language is what? Is the means of communication. You want to communicate with the book, you want to communicate with other people, you want to make a communication, either in or out. You need to make a communication. But if you start reading without focusing on understanding, you will take hundreds of days and hundreds of years in order to achieve your goal. It's as if you are knocking here and you think that this is the door and the door is just here. Make it a vital lesson for you. Understanding is the core issue of any language. You want to understand the language because you want to understand the religion. So anything that keeps away you away from this, and as we said that the word Rasul, Muhammadur Rasulullah, you understand and how you communicate with it. Whereas we went to the word Sayyara, probably we had some problems in communicating with each other when we gave this example. So understanding is the focus. When you learn, focus on the meaning. If you calculate the time that you spend in learning alphabet, how many years did it take you to learn alphabet? How many days? How many months? Up to now you are on the level of alphabet, right? I'm sure that you can read the alphabet better. The time that you spend in learning the alphabet, you could have learned at least 200 or 300 or 500 words. And whenever you hear these words, you would know the meaning, because the focus was on the meaning. Never lose your focus from this. The focus is on understanding the meaning. Insist that when you hear a word from a khatib two or three times, go and meet him. What did you mean by saying khalaqa? What did you mean by saying nabi? What did you mean by saying so and so and so and so? Try to learn from this. So focus on the meaning. Focus on the meaning, and this will help you communicate very quickly. Again, another mistake that happens by people is that they like to learn grammar. How many of you know some grammar in Arabic? Raise your hand. One of you? Two? Three? Four? You know grammar, right? I'm not going to test you. Yeah, okay. You too. Don't panic. You know grammar. But can you communicate in Arabic? No. What is grammar? Where is grammar in the language? Where do you put grammar in the language? Okay. Do you put grammar in or out? I'm asking you. Why do people like to learn grammar? Wow, are these challenging questions? No, when you, for example, to know the rules, why is that? Why when a teacher comes and he asks the students, what should I teach you? They would say, okay, teach us some grammar. Why do they really know this? Huh? Why do they want?
Word construction?
To have the proper meaning.
They're not understood probably.
I think one of the reasons is that when someone starts learning grammar, the first fruit he gets after one class, he can go and sit with another person and talks about the subject and the object and the mubtada and the khabar. Why? Because it's information. Grammar is information and knowledge, rules. Grammar is information and rules. So we like to get information, because when I give you a piece of information, that's what is the number of the Muslims on the earth now? What is the number of? Huh? More than a billion. What is the accurate number to the best of your knowledge? 1.1, 1.2. I add another one, so it becomes 1.3. 1.3 billion. Yes, this is the number of the Muslims. I'm sure that all of you would know this, and after an hour, all of you would be able to say this piece of information to anyone else, right? When you go home, you can tell this to your kids. Very easy. Right? Why? Because it's a piece of information. Because it's a piece of information. Scholars say about language, what do they say about language? What do they say about grammar? They say that grammar is learning about the language. Grammar is not learning the language. Grammar is learning about the language. Okay, let me test you. Now, do you think Abu Bakr Siddiq wa Ali ibn Abi Talib and Umar ibn al-Khattab knew that the subject always takes u at the end, and this word means subject means mubtada? Yes or no? If anyone dares to say no, raise your hand. Inshallah, we have very brave students. Sheikh Waleed, where are you? Raise your hand if you dare to say that. Yes, of course. They didn't know that. They did not know the word mubtada and khabar, and the mubtada should be marfu' and the khabar should be marfu' and the cases that the khabar should be mansub, and they didn't know that. Of course. The word, these grammatical words are rules. I want you to differentiate between the skill and the rule. You can be a very good swimmer, swim right, in the sea, without knowing the rules of a swim, just by practice, right? And you can bring a teacher who can give you a very nice lecture about the rules of swimming. Rule number one, do this and this and this. Rule number two, do this and this. And when you take the teacher and put him in the sea, he will drown. This is true. This knowing the rules have nothing to do with the skill itself. You can know the rules of driving an airplane, right? First step is to do this, and the second step to do this, right? And when they ask you to drive an airplane, can you? And you memorize them. You can memorize all of them, but you cannot do this job because it's a matter of what? A skill. So scholars say that language, grammar, is learning about the language. Is not learning the language. Is learning some information about the language. In other words, instead of learning about the language, you need to learn what? You need to learn the language first and then to learn about the language later on. Let me ask you another question. Yes. When did the Arabs start to write grammar, their grammar? How recent? When? At the time of Umar, at the time of Abu Bakr, at the time when? Yeah? Before that or after that? Oh, but did the Arabs speak Arabic before that? They spoke Arabic, right? And then they started writing the grammar after hundreds of years. And this is a rule that happened in most of the languages of the world. Not only that, there are many languages in the world now that have no grammar written. No written grammar. Why do people start writing grammar when they start having some non-native speakers start learning the language, right? And they start making millions of mistakes. At that time, they realize that their language is at risk, so they start writing the rules of their language in order to keep the language from being changed. At the time when the companions, or before the companions, in the time of Jahiliyyah, the Arabs never thought, some Arabs can write, of course, could write at that time. They never thought of writing the grammar. Why? Why? Because they didn't need to. They are native speakers, they never make mistakes, and even if they make a mistake, another one would correct them. There is no way for them to make mistakes because there is not a single one who makes a mistake of them. It's something that you inherit. It's something that's inherited. When other people want to learn the language, they found difficulties. When the Arabs went to other Islamic countries to teach in Syria and in Egypt to teach Islam, they found those people are making mistakes. And at that point, they decided to write grammar. Have you ever known these facts before? No. But these facts are very important because, as I said, some teachers may come to you and try to teach you grammar and you are pleased because you want to go home and tell your wife that I learned something now and I can teach you this thing. And yes, because it's a piece of information. So when you learn grammar at the early stages, you don't need this at all. There's something called, scholars say it, it's functional grammar, that you know how to use the sentence in a structure. I can teach you a structure right now, right? And you can follow this structure. For example, when you say that I am a student in Arabic, right? Okay. I would say that Muhammadun Talibun. Muhammadun Talibun. Muhammadun is. The word is here, but it is dropped. The Arab see is, but you don't see this is. It's invisible for you. Yes, if you know English, it's invisible. We don't write it, but we understand it. So this is the rule. So Muhammadun is, right? Talibun. Muhammadun Talibun. The word is dropped. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. Muhammadun Talibun. Muhammadun Talibun. Can you say this, please? MashaAllah. Excellent students. Okay. Now let's change the word Muhammadun. Ibrahim. Ibrahim Talibun. Aliyun. Aliyun Talibun. Farid. Farid Talibun. This is the way that you live. There is grammar here, but we don't tell you that this is Mubtada and this is Khabar and this is Marfu'a. No. You learn grammar by practice. It's called functional grammar. This is the way the Arabs spoke. They spoke the language without knowing that this is called Mubtada and this is called Khabar, and they didn't make mistakes. And that's what you are doing now. When you learn this. Now at least you learned a sentence which means Muhammadun Talibun. Even if you don't know how to write it. I'm sure that most of you may not be able to write this, but you now know the meaning of Muhammadun Talib. Okay, so going back to the mainstream of the lecture is that you need to focus on the message. You need to focus on the message. Inshallah. Okay, one of the things that we mentioned, now, when we learned the language, we took us some time to listen. Striptaker, what did I say? What did I say?
It takes some time.
No, before that, I mentioned a word. What's happening? What's happening here? I said it. I didn't say it quick. I said it exactly normal. But why didn't you catch it? First, you were not having attention. Second,
there isn't any relation between the topic and subject.
Probably. Very good. What else? There is not relationship. There is no meaning here. I said a word which is meaningless to you. That's why the words that have meaning stay in your mind longer. Okay, again, this text has two meanings. What else? What is happening here? Okay, I'll say it again. Now everybody is giving me his gun. Yeah. Striptaker. No, don't say it. Can you say it, Sheikh?
Striptaker.
Striptaker? You added three letters. What did they say?
Scriptaker.
Okay, what did they say? Scriptaker? I didn't say scriptaker. Okay, I'll say it again. Striptaker. Don't say it. Don't say it. Striptaker. 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 Can you say it? Excellent. Say it. Excellent.
Striptaker.
MashaAllah. Excellent. Very good. What happened here?
Repetition.
You listen to it many times. This is a rule in learning languages. Okay, see the difference. How many Muslims are on this earth nowadays?
1.3?
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Why? I mean, all of you have made it correctly. Why? Because it's a piece of information. Whereas, when I said a word, you could not repeat it because it's not a piece of information. Do you see the difference between these two? When it is a piece of information, it's very easy to remember. It's knowledge. But when you learn language, you need some time to listen. You need to train your ear in order to help your tongue say it correctly. You cannot say it correctly without having adequate training for your ear. So this is rule number two. Yes, you need to train yourself many times before you start even saying. Every time you listen to the word, two or three or four times, by the way, there is not a single word in the world, to the best of my knowledge, that's called strip taker. Yeah. It's a new word that I invented, and I myself don't know what is the meaning of it. Yeah. It may be in somewhere in China, they may have a meaning for this strip taker, but anyway. So this is the language, it's a group of sounds. It's a group of sounds, and we give it meaning. Okay, but now I can give it a meaning like this. Strip taker. Strip taker. What is this? What is this? What is this? What is this?
Strip taker.
What is this?
Strip taker.
Strip taker. We gave it meaning now. This is the nature of any language. The sounds that we make have nothing to do with the meaning. We give it the meaning. This is the nature of Bengali language, English language, Arabic language, any other language in the world. It's a group of sounds, and we give these sounds the meaning. We give it. The people give it. Do you see what I'm saying now? So we give it now, you know, all of you now, we invented a word and we call this strip taker. So every time you go to the market, please give me one strip taker for $2. I'm sure the Americans will kill you now. Yes, because you are changing their languages. Yes. And by the way, when words move from one word, one language into another, like you find some words in Arabic that have been in Urdu, you will find slight changes in the meaning, right? Because the people who got them first were not very clever, so they got them very superficially, and then when they conveyed them into the language, they conveyed a distorted form of them. And this happens among any language. You would find this. And today I discovered that the Bengali people use the word bas, which means don't speak, right?
Enough.
Enough. And I found that the Egyptians used the same thing. I don't know who took it from the ones, either the Egyptians or the Arabs, or took it from...
Huna.
Huh?
Huna.
Hunak.
No, Guna.
Guna?
Guna.
Jun. Mala Guna.
Juna.
Guna.
Thin. Thin.
Thin?
Thin. Thin.
Oh, he's saying Gunah.
Junah.
Gunah.
Okay, but this is the way it's converted.
Urdu and Bengali, it's
Guna. Okay. Alhamdulillah, big change because of the sounds. The sounds there are not the sounds there. Anyway, so this teaches us that we need to focus on listening. I mean, every time you listen more, you will be able to pronounce more. So, going back again, instead of when you deal with anything in Arabic, yes, you can learn anything now just by focusing on the meaning. Now we didn't write the word strip taker. I can write it to you in any form of a language. In Chinese, in English, in Arabic, and I can write different symbols, of course. And then you have to make the connection between this and this, between this and this. So focus on the meaning, right? And then listen to it many times, and then use it, and when you use it what? In sentence. Why? Because when you use a word in a sentence or in a situation, it's a meaningful word. It's a meaningful word. So my advice to you in brief, I'm sure that you got bored of me, you got tired of me. My advice to you is that whenever you are exposed to learning a language, and when we say that learning a language in context, and the best context that we need to learn is what? Is the Quran and the Sunnah. So instead of wasting our time learning things that are away from this, we can learn from the Quran. And this is one of the things that I'm going to teach to the brothers, to the Arabs, if they come, inshallah, in the after Asr, that to teach the other. For example, I'll give you some example. Look at the verse that says Alif Lam Mim, Surah Al-Baqarah, the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. Assume that you want to learn. Now you want to sit with yourself and you want to learn. Only for the teacher? So you should be very generous for all of them. They will envy me now.
JazakAllah khair. They're polite.
Huh?
They're polite.
Okay, there. Let's take something like this. Okay. Alif Lam Mim. A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem. Alif Lam Mim. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. And you have a tape recorder at home. One of the things that you, unfortunately, there's no one who did this job. Any one of you can do it. You can take a tape that teaches Quran, right? And the tape that says, for example, the one verse from the Quran, and then it leaves a blank, right? Leave it blank for you to repeat. I think a better way to do it, if someone of you would take Surah An-Nas, for example, to make it easy, right? And takes the first verse of it, the first ayah, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, and he takes it and copies it again, and then copies it again. And I think this can be done by computers very quickly, and then you take it from computers and you put it on tapes. This helps you a lot. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. What happens is that it gives you a space to repeat it, but you make mistakes in repeating it. Why? Why do you make mistakes? We answered it now. Because you did not get enough training. Okay, someone would say that, okay, but we listen to the whole verse. When you listen to the whole verse, when you go to the end of the verse, right, you forget the beginning of it. So what should happen is, you take the first verse, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, for example, this applies to any part of the Quran, but I'm just giving an example. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, assume that you are going to learn any chapter. Take, for example, 5 ayahs per day. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, and take it and repeat it. And I think I need a volunteer to do this job. And I think when we have this product available, I think inshallah it will help all of us. So قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, and then it is repeated. قُلْ أَعُوذُ, you don't say anything, you just listen. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Now say it. Okay, listen to it again. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Say it again.
قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ.
Very good. This is the way I want the tape to be designed. Can you do this job, or can you select one of the brothers to do this job? I think if we have something like this, you have it in your car or you have it anywhere, you will have a lot of training on every ayah. Not on the whole thing first. No, you need to take every ayah, every chunk by itself, and to have enough adequate training on it, then finally you come up with the whole verse. What is your role after that? Let's say that we are learning this. And now you listen to it many times. You need to study it in the Quran and to know the word. For example, focus on the meaning of the word. The most common word in this surah is what? قل قل قل. What's the meaning of قل?
Say.
Very, very good. Okay, that's good. That's what you need to know. Okay, الناس.
People.
الناس. It's repeated many times, right? الناس. So you take the word الناس, right, and learn it. Okay, give me please some.
Do you write?
Flashcards. No, thank you. Zikallah. You have to be a student. I like those brothers who came with something to write. If you want to be a student, all the time you need to carry a pen and a paper to write. Yes, you need to do this. And there is a hadith by Prophet Muhammad ﷺ that means قَيِّدُ الْعِلْمَ بِالْكِتَابَةِ. Document knowledge by writing. Because we forget. We forget. So you need to work on this. Okay, there's something called flashcards. I'm sure that you know that. Where is that? Did you sell it? Please give me the strip taker. He got it right. Okay. I think that each one of you would need to buy something like this. You know that. Who has kids at school? Do they have something like that? All of them, right? Do you yourself have? No.
I also do.
Alhamdulillah, that's good. Okay. For example, the word annas. As I said, that writing the word annas is very simple. Is it difficult? Is it difficult? You just draw it. Even if the writing is wrong, it's okay. Yeah. And you write the word anas. You're lucky, you're happy day. This is your luckiest day because my handwriting is very bad. Yeah. Okay. You write it here. Right? And you can write the verse. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. You copy it from the Quran. And you underline the word anas. You underline the word anas. On the back, right? Write the translation. On the back, write the translation. Okay? Five. People. Every day, you may add one or two or three papers like this. After a month, you will have a bunch of these. Right? When you try to remember, remind yourself, okay, this is Annas. This is Rabb. This is A'udhu. This is Qul. This is Ahad. This is Kharaja. This is Khalaqa. This is Ja'a. I don't know the meaning of Ja'a. So I came. You see what I'm saying? You do this, you remind. You do this every chance, whenever you have a chance, you do this exercise. Even when you are driving, when you stop at a traffic light, I used to flip. Yes, you can flip as many as 20 pages, 20 index cards, yes, at a traffic light. You just remind yourself, keep yourself, you have to suffer. Right? You want to go to paradise from the widest door, inshallah. So you need to struggle with this. Inshallah, we'll have some people. Okay. Would you like us to make this exercise that each one of you would now give you? Who knows how to read Quran? Okay, so alhamdulillah, I have no problem with that. Now let's come up with something beneficial, inshallah. I need each of you now, before we go, you spend all your life learning the alphabet, but now you will learn two words, inshallah. How is that? Okay? Okay. Please distribute Mus'haf among them. I have Mus'haf. Yeah. I like the brothers who are volunteers who do the job, especially the old ones who serve the young ones. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. We are in the United States. The old ones serve the young ones.